Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, August the 13th, 234th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, you're still a lieutenant, right? All right, Lieutenant Steve Knight. I think I saw you. Were you Freshwater Lagoon last week? Hassling some fishermen?
No.
Oh, I thought I recognized the hairstyle going by at about 65 from up above. It was one of Humboldt County's finest stuff. You know, all I saw was the back, and it was not that impressive.
That's mean.
And you didn't feel comfortable enough coming here by yourself, so you had to bring a buddy along, huh?
Dan mentioned it. He said, "Want to bring Hanson with you?" I said, "Sure."
Any excuse to get out of the office. I said, "Yeah, I'll go with you, Steve."
Yeah. How you been, Wayne?
Good. Glad to be here.
Good deal. This afternoon, we're talking a little bit. Well, we'll get an update kind of on the drug situation in the area. It's something that we hear about. These two fellows are, let's see, how do I say this one and not be indicting you? Are professionals in the industry who are well attuned and keyed into what's going on. How's that? Does that kind of sound okay?
It sounds good.
Yeah, that's a good.
You buy that one? Okay.
It's a good analogy.
Good. Well, we'll start there and then we'll peel away all the fluff and find out what's really going on when we come back.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Wayne Hanson and Mr. Steve Knight. I mean, if you're going to retire, you may as well start calling you Mr.
That's fine.
Okay. Instead of other things that people call you. I mean, Wayne's already signaling a couple suggestions behind you, so.
Yeah, sorry, Steve. Behind your back, what happens? You're not aware of. It's okay.
Our quote this afternoon comes from Judith Stern. Sometime in 1959 said, quote, "Experience is like a comb life gives you after you lose your hair."
Well, I've got a lot of that going on.
I can see by sitting behind you. You got a lot going on there, too.
See, you're getting that perspective from up on the roadway driving by. Yeah, I think he was there. Right?
That's the reason I got my sunglasses on. The glare in here is kind of...
little right. Stunning.
Yeah.
That's my pearly white teeth, sorry. Guys, have you seen any trend this year with, I don't know, if it's drug eradication, drug, bad guys, whatever you want to use as a reference here, of the marijuana industry or of the drug industry specifically?
I mean, it's expanding every year. The environmental health damage, you know, the rat poison and the fertilizers, it's increasing every year. It's still epidemic proportions. It's definitely not getting better out there.
And I think you could look at the supply and demand, and the supply is outweighing the demand. The prices have dropped significantly.
What does this stuff sell for?
Well,
go ahead.
A few years ago, say 6 years ago, went for about $3,500 a pound because the market's flooded. Excess amount of product, it's down to $800 to $1,200 a pound. So
what does that manifest like? Are we seeing three times the size of gardens?
Because everybody's greedy. Everybody's going. I always equate it. It's 1849. People came to California for the gold rush. And throughout the last 30 years, people are coming to California. It's getting worse and worse and worse. So more people are producing the product. So I guess it's good and bad. There's more of it. So it's not worth as much as it was. But there's so much product on the market. People want quality. So they're... the better wine, people are buying it, and then the cheaper wine, the price is going way down.
Now, my understanding with wine is that certain wine ages and increases in value, and certain wine turns to vinegar and really doesn't increase with value. Is there that with marijuana? I mean,
no.
Can it be stored? Is there or once it's done, it's done?
It deteriorates fairly rapidly, and some of the growers have been holding on to it longer than they should, and then all of a sudden they got a moldy, mildewy mess. Most of our growers now, they ship it out. That's when you'll see somebody get popped in like Iowa or something like that, 400 or 500 pounds, and they're from Humboldt County. They use brokers. A lot of times they're people that they're familiar with. So you get a lot of the growers to contact somebody that does the transportation for them. And once they get the marijuana back east, the price goes back up to where it used to be here. And like Lieutenant Hansen said 6-8 years ago.
Who?
Wayne.
Okay.
Thanks, Steve. You can call me. So, proper title.
And I'd back up even to the 90s, 96 through about 2000 when I was in charge of the marijuana unit. The growers were getting $5,500 to $6,000 for a pound of marijuana bud out of Humboldt County. And there's been a steady decline on the buds in the county. And I know we've got some of the growers that, you know, have spoke candidly with us that were the mom and pop, so to speak, that they're having a tough time making a living off of, you know, growing 100 plants, whatever. And now
do you guys tear up on that one when they say that?
Yeah, I cry myself to sleep every night about people not making money growing marijuana.
It certainly has changed, though, whether it's the product price, the glut being there, some of the stuff you were talking about with the environmental choices that are done, the things that are being used. When you see Humboldt County marijuana versus somebody outside of our region, I mean, not to pick on Mendocino, but another, do they compare? Are they comparable? Is there something magical about Humboldt County, or that other areas use Roundup, or they use, I don't know, Miracle-Gro or something like that that's a different? Do those things manifest themselves anywhere, or
I think it's just, you know, generation to generation passing down the knowledge how to grow marijuana in the county of Humboldt. But, through the years and the decades, and we're in 2014, the experience of growing marijuana is expanding, you know, to British Columbia, up in Canada, or Mendocino, over in Hawaii. But years ago, it used to be Humboldt County because of the fog in the morning and the heat would produce, and the rural area would produce the best quality outdoor marijuana. But now we've manifested greenhouses and indoor grows, so that's fallen off a little bit. Humboldt County is still known worldwide as a producer of marijuana.
In cities within.
It's a countywide problem. Yeah. And we've unfortunately, because of our reputation, have attracted international and national people to our county.
That would be criminal elements. KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take 2 on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with the Lieutenants. Ooh, new song group, the Lieutenants. Wayne Hansen and Steve Knight. Guys, how do you talk to, whether it's the Illinois guys or Utah guys or your buddies that you network with throughout the country, and try to describe what this drug culture in Humboldt County is all about? How do you do that?
They don't understand unless they've been here and lived in it. When you explain to them the marijuana issues and how they affect the county, most of the other jurisdictions, even the Central Valley, is friends with the Redding police chief, and we get in these conversations about the marijuana industry in Humboldt and how, you know, law enforcement, there's almost to the point, you know, hey, we never thought we'd say this. If we're not going to have the resources to fight it, then legalize it and be done with it. And they think we've lost our minds and maybe we've been smoking it or something. But, you try explaining, hey, we just keep beating our heads against the wall trying to control this issue. And it has taken a lot of resources, a lot of taxpayer dollars in our county. But when you come to a lot of the other areas in the state, especially the Central Valley, Southern California, or you move into some of these other states, you know, like Utah and Nevada, they don't want to see it legalized at all.
Wayne, when you share with some of the guys on the, maybe not leading with the badge, but leading with the undercover stuff in other jurisdictions, do they grasp what this is or how it's impacted our region?
No, I don't think they do. I mean, I think they come out here twofold because it's a major, major crime there, and they want to see what's going on in the county of Humboldt because they've heard about it, and they get out here, and they're kind of flabbergasted because it's socially acceptable, all the grows that are here. I mean, if you looked on, like, Google Earth, which is out there, you would see over 4,000 different grow sites in the county of Humboldt. It's just... it's an epidemic, which leads to criminality, transients that come here and make a fortune and end up staying, and all our economy's going down because everybody coming to Humboldt County. But the other counties, other states come in here, they're just amazed by the popularity of marijuana in the county of Humboldt.
When it's legalized, how do you guys see that scenario playing out?
Depends. It's a variety of options we've heard about. We've heard about, you know, the state doing it, and we're hoping if it goes down that road, it's national. Our understanding, listened to our local congressman, that there are some possible discussions, but even then, even Washington has some of the congressmen from other states that don't understand what our problems are. Are also looking at it saying, well, why would we want to do that?
Viable question.
Exactly.
And, you know, if you legalize it, again, you got to legalize it in the United States of America. And I'm kind of, you know, saddened. I've lived in Humboldt County all my life. If we're thinking about legalizing marijuana for the county of Humboldt to bring in all these other undesirable people for the county of Humboldt tax dollars to be based on marijuana, it's kind of a sad state of affairs, personally.
The ripples through all the different societal levels, how do you guys deal with it and not get so frustrated?
Well, my personal belief is it's a personal choice if you want to smoke marijuana. I personally don't. I don't smoke tobacco. Of course, I never smoked that stuff. But if you're going to make hundreds of thousands of dollars and grow marijuana and disregard the environment and the other laws associated with it, totally against that belief.
How about for you, Steve?
I think the question you gave was the ripple effect. There's a huge ripple effect. I jokingly tell people even I've benefited from marijuana cultivation in the county. And I say that because I was hired because so was the sheriff, Lieutenant Caventa and Lieutenant Morey. The four of us were hired back in 1986 so we could form a marijuana eradication team to deal with the problem back then. The state gave the county
nice
money.
Nice job, by the way.
Yeah, that's what they said because he followed me.
You know why? It's because he's colorblind. You can never see it.
Wait, I get out of the marijuana unit. His famous phrase was, how come you didn't deal with this?
I called him Ray Charles, a blind man. Yeah. See that.
We've made a lot of overtime combating it over the years, trying to deal with it, and a lot of our officers have. But I know a lot of business people around here have made it on that, too. And like you said, if it's legalized, everybody needs to be prepared for that because it's going to have an effect on the economy in our county. Hopefully, you know, it's a good long-term effect if that's what happens, and that we're looking at some businesses to fill that void for the county's long-term, we want to see it prosper. And get a bunch of good paying jobs up here for everybody to enjoy and keep the economy moving. Right now, though, while this is still a problem for us, and I know it's costing our office a lot of time and energy dealing with it, and I think it affects all of us with the environmental damage that is going into our drinking water, that's affecting the creeks and streams that we all like to recreate in, and I think we all should be concerned about it.
Do you guys think that the Joe Citizen, regular guy, grasps the economic connected to the environmental? Do you think most argue one, argue the other, and don't make that connection?
I don't think they make the connection. They don't equate that. People don't dissect the issue.
It's getting
that.
Better. Thanks to some of the researchers and the public does listen to them, I think the education's getting out there.
It's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon from the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department, Lieutenant Steve Knight and Lieutenant Wayne Hansen. This afternoon, we're kind of getting a update, primer, both, on some of the drug activity that's going on in our area. Guys, we hear an awful lot about marijuana, meth. I don't know where that fits into the equation. Certainly a drug culture is one that will accommodate meth use, and I'm sure some guys will say, yeah, and booze too. Okay, fine, so I'll throw in some booze too. Are you seeing any trends, though, any changes? I can remember back in the 80s when we started this thing, Shipley would be on, and Ray was the police chief in Eureka at the time. He'd say, hey, got a new shipment of heroin in. We can tell because boom, 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 boom. And we'd have press releases and stuff going on all over. And, you know, for 10 days, it would be hot stuff. And then normalcy. We don't hear about that stuff anymore. Is it because it's so small in comparison to everything else that's going on?
Oh, no. It's from that era, the chief in the 70s, it's 100 times worse than it was then. A lot more addicts, a lot more supply. I mean, back then, if you got a 2-pound heroin bust, you know, biggest bust of the century. Now, that's small potatoes. You find 2 pounds of heroin on a load car or on a suspect, or 2 pounds of methamphetamines. That's not even a above average bust these days.
So, are we like a distribution center for drugs on the West Coast?
It's a supply and demand, and like Lieutenant Hansen said. When I was with the drug task force in the early 90s, I had a case where they had 2 pounds of meth, and that was big. We were like high-fiving after that. Now they're picking up cases, 4 or 5 pounds. And it's,
here locally?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes. And when you it goes back to supply and demand. If there's a demand, they will supply it. And there's always somebody to fill the void. And it's the same thing with the heroin, the tar heroin that comes in here. We still have a lot of people using it. A lot of people are using it and just maintaining on the county, but it's an ongoing issue for us. And you run into some of the effects of AB 109 now with the jail overcrowding and possession of those types of drugs, nonviolent felony. So it kind of goes up and down like a yo-yo with the Matrix in the jail. They're booked, whether we're going to hold
it. We still have only got 130,000 people. It's kind of been where we've been 25 years, 30 years. We have such a higher incidence of people using this garbage? Well,
and what's happening, too, is a lot of our cases, people will trade a couple pounds of methamphetamine for marijuana.
So there's a barter going on.
There's a barter going on because some of the philosophy, it's easy to get rid of the marijuana. And second, if you get caught with, 5 pounds of marijuana and you trade 2 pounds of methamphetamine, the charging section is being caught with 5 pounds of marijuana versus 2 pounds of methamphetamines or less. But there is a barter system of people in this county, too, trading methamphetamines, poundage for poundage of marijuana.
But at some point, wouldn't all those who were inclined to imbibe burn up, kill themselves, disappear, fall away, do something? Or is this an unending supply of people coming into town?
Everybody's always coming in. We're a one-on-one corridor. There's migration of people constant going through this county, going up north. It's a major supply route for the state of California.
More than I-5?
I think it's equal.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd agree with that, but we definitely have our, we've got a lot of users in the county. And they maintain, Brian. They'll live for years. It's amazing how well they do.
I mean, on any given day, and I'm not bad-mouthing anybody in the city of Eureka, on any given day, like the girlfriend and I on the weekends, coming back from Trinity County.
Is that her official title, by the way?
The girlfriend?
The girlfriend?
Yeah. She's probably listening. Going, call me the girlfriend. Yeah.
Watch the revenge of the girlfriend tonight.
Yeah, the girlfriend. But it's a game. We start counting the people that look like maybe using methamphetamines, walking the streets of Eureka and 4th and 5th Street in the middle of the afternoon. Sometimes we count 30 or 40. Obviously, there's a large issue of methamphetamine usage because people that use methamphetamine, a user is not kept in the county jail. They're generally, if they're under influence, they're booked until they come down off the high and then released. But there's not a throw them in prison. So there's a lot of users in the county.
Historically, I understand that there was a fair amount of, I guess it was opiates that were used because of the long haul drivers. Does opiate put you to sleep, or does that keep you awake?
Put you to sleep.
What's the one that keeps you awake?
Meth.
Amphetamine.
Okay. No dose is what I always thought.
Caffeine.
Yeah. Okay, fine. With the guys that were driving for the mills, you know, the long haul guys taking the wood down, you know, getting that extra couple of hours in, all that kind of stuff. So we've had a history, you guys know as well as anybody does, the incidence of alcoholism in our area and some of the cultural challenges associated with that in certain pockets of the area also. But this doesn't sound like it's that. This sounds like it's a whole different ball game entirely.
I think society's changing as a whole. You know, I was in Santa Barbara for a class about 5-6 years ago. I mean, there's million-dollar homes, and they had a lot of people with issues running around Santa Barbara. So it's not just our county that's experiencing these issues.
But if you drive down San Francisco, Lombard or Van Ness, mm-hmm. you know, you can count the people I was just talking about on 4th and 5th Street, Eureka.
But it's everywhere. The same number, Wayne. In a city of 800,000 versus a city of 40,000.
Correct.
That's the frightening part for, you're not a native. You get away.
But
Wayne and I mean, you know, this is different.
I recently talked to a Time Standard reporter about our homicide rate, right? For 140,000 people, we're including the city of Eureka and Humboldt County, 7 homicides for the year. You equate that to the bigger cities, and the homicide rate, it's just like the bigger cities here too. So the criminality portion of the county of Humboldt, it's not like it used to be. It's quite high for the crimes for the population per capita.
KINS, News and Information Times 342. We'll be back with more from Wayne Hansen and Steve Knight.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 345. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Wayne Hansen and Steve Knight from the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department. Guys, so what is a solution? I mean, if we had, instead of a pound of dried marijuana, we had a pound of dried pixie dust, and each of you guys got half a pound to play with. Now, you know how that's going to play back in the shop, right? Knight has half a pound.
That's what's causing his hair to fall out.
What would you do? What would be, if you could have one thing, but it was an open-ended resource, so money is not the issue, it's conceptual. What would be the one thing that you would like to have visit or be instituted or be part of Humboldt County to help deal with this situation?
Well, you know, some resources. Resources and money is bottom line, you know, and the marijuana issue, that one's going to have to be a national legalization of that. Otherwise, it's going to continue to be a problem for us. And, you know, I think law enforcement countywide is doing what they can with the resources we have right now to combat the problem. And
so throwing more money at it?
I know what you're saying. It's you've got to get people to stop using it too. There's got to be some penalties and I think the users and try to dry up the demand for it. And I don't think law enforcement can do that on their own. You've got to have folks that don't want to use it. It's got to be unpopular to use it, and educating our kids at a young age, hey, this is like really bad. You don't want to get near this stuff.
How about for you, Wayne? You got your half pound over there?
Well, I agree with Steve. You know, it's really bad for us to educate because nobody wants to listen You know, tobacco smoke's bad for you. It's a carcinogenic. Cigarette smoke's okay for you. Actually, you know, I have a medical doctor here. The carcinogenics in marijuana smoke is far worse than tobacco smoke, but nobody wants to talk about that because everybody's happy when they're smoking marijuana.
Isn't that an interesting dichotomy?
Yeah, but nobody wants to talk about that. But we've definitely, you know, over the years, since late 80s, the marijuana industry, you know, we're losing the war. It's getting worse and worse out there, and all we're trying to do is, you know, stem the tide, because we all know drunk driving is really bad for people, accidents and cars, and if everybody's smoking marijuana driving down the freeway, oh my God. So it's hard to stop this tide.
It's got to be instilled, though, at a young age, and you got to get everybody to buy in. And I was up in Oregon about a week or two ago in Medford, and they actually had a lot of commercials on TV dealing with the methamphetamine abuse and why you didn't want to do it, and showing pictures of people and talking about it.
Local.
Yeah, they were local commercials. And, again, there was a period of time where I knew we had a methamphetamine task force, and I don't know where that's at, that was trying to deal with the educational side of that. And it's got to be a multi-pronged approach to deal with it. And if marijuana stays illegal, then we need the resources and money from our federal and state partners to help us get back to dealing with it. We had a lid on it one time, and it was here, but it was a lot more controlled than it is now. And now you're dealing with very limited resources and this major, major influx of people coming to our county to make a lot of money. And they really don't care about what they do to the environment and anybody that gets in their way. And it's taxing us.
Are we safe?
It's taxing all the agencies.
Are we safe? I tell people when they call me if they should hike in the national forests and the state parks, absolutely not. I can't guarantee your safety out there because there are large marijuana grows. But no, again, this is not a Sleepy Hollow to enjoy the hills because people are up there growing their crops.
You have to be aware of where you're at all times.
And probably don't leave things in your car that people might think you want.
Yeah. Correct.
I mean, you may as well extend the message all the way.
Smash and grab.
But to expand this, I mean, the county of Humboldt needs to work, and they are, but, you know, like our port, they need to bring in manufacturing jobs so our youth here don't think about, I'm going to grow marijuana to make my fortune versus there's some good trade jobs or, you know, Apple or whatever comes into our port, because our port needs to be expanded to create jobs and economy.
You mean economic
county.
Viability?
Yeah.
Here?
What a concept.
Let's start with straightening Richardson's Grove, shall we? Won't drag you guys into that one.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Wayne Hansen and Steve Knight. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. And someone you love, see you tomorrow.